The question I have is pertaining to race. I am identified as a Caucasian or white woman, and I live in the United States of America. And I am interested to learn more about your position on the idea of reverse racism.
So the question of reverse racism comes up when somebody, generally somebody who's white, has an experience of bias. Somebody says or does something to you that's clearly about your race. And so the question is, why is that not racism if they're treating me or making assumptions about me because of my race? The reason why is we think about a difference between bias and racism. And bias means that I look at you and I make a judgment or make assumptions or treat you differently because of some characteristic of who you are, like race in this instance. So I might look at you as a white person and say, I'm not going to trust that you're going to understand me, so I'm going to choose somebody else to be my empathy buddy. That would be an example of bias. And bias could happen to somebody of any race. The reason that we don't call it reverse racism is because racism has to do with structural power. So as a black person, I have very little structural power when it comes to things about race. I don't get to make the laws that have said black people don't get to own houses, or black people can only buy houses in certain places, or black people can only go to certain schools. The way that society is currently structured, the structural power flows down from white folks to other people, to BIPOC folks, people of color. And so we call it racism when there's a structural force behind the bias, and not just because there is bias. And I'm curious if that helps to explain it.
Yes, thank you very much, Roxy. It's very clear.
Wonderful.
I wonder your thoughts on Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter basically says, going back to that question of racism, that there has been structural racism in many countries. Anti-blackness got spread all over the world. And so in many communities, not just the United States, there are structural things in place that prevent black people from having access to a whole bunch of resources. Black people are being killed everywhere. People of color are being killed in many different places. And when we talk about the difference between Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter, the point is all lives have always mattered. That's the stance that, especially as an NBC person, we believe in, right? Everybody's lives matter. But when we say Black Lives Matter, what we're pointing to is that structural racism, that Black lives have been less valued, that they have been subject to acts of government terrorism, inside the United States terrorism. Like, we get killed all the time. We get abused all the time. We get hurt all the time. And so it's raising awareness that in this world where all lives matter, certain lives continue to be mattered less. So it's not meant to say you're white, therefore your life doesn't matter. It's acknowledging that, yeah, of course your lives matter and ours have not mattered. And are you aware of that? That's for me the big difference. The firehouse analogy basically says if you're house is burning and it's on fire and you call the fire department and you say, hey, my house is burning, please put out my fire. And somebody comes and starts putting out the fire and somebody next door to you says, my house isn't burning, but why aren't you putting water on it? That's the difference between Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. If your house isn't burning right now, you don't need the kind of attention that we're trying to raise, because we're trying to raise attention to the folks who are really suffering.
That's a beautiful analogy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to follow up with that. It helps me, but it only helps me to a certain degree. You know, I want to hold that Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. For me, I have an appreciation that I often want to hear both. I want to know that both are important. So mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to the Civil Rights Movement, mm-hmm. and I'm going to mention Bayard Rustin, who was an African-American mm-hmm. and a gay man. And he was invited or encouraged not to talk about his homosexuality. So I guess I just want to name that I have an appreciation for some people. It's important to mention that Black Lives Matter and to also hold that all lives matter as well. That I think that some people are mm-hmm. arguing for all lives matter because in certain movements, some people do get left behind.
First, I just want to say that as somebody in the LGBT community, I think that, you know, like the stories about people like Bayard Rustin are horrendous and heartbreaking. And so I absolutely agree with that. But when I hear all lives matter, I've got to be honest, I have very rarely heard a non-white person saying all lives matter. Very rarely. When I hear a queer person talking about all lives matter, who's a person of color, they're talking about the intersectionality. They're saying, hey, as we talk about Black Lives Matter, let's make sure we don't forget Black trans folks, Black queer folks. But when I hear white folks talk about all lives matter, that's when that issue comes up around, where are we putting the attention? I would be so delighted for anybody to say, let's talk about what it's like to be not just Black, but Black and female, or Black and male, or Black and queer, or Black with a high school degree, or less than a high school degree, or Black in return from prison. There's so many categories that I think all fit under that Black Lives Matter. But the All Lives Matter is very rarely about that.
I just wish there was a way of naming the complexity and holding on to both. I absolutely get that Black Lives Matter is about naming that there's a certain group of people and we want to shine the light on the oppression for that group of people.
Right.
I mean, that's extremely important. That's an extremely important to get to All Lives Matter. But I can imagine that there are people who want to know that they still count. And it's not necessarily seen in the way that Black Lives Matter is named. It's not necessarily seen if you go to their website and you look on their webpage. And I think that there are some, maybe not the most, but there are some who are sitting in that discussion of All Lives Matter versus Black Lives Matter who just are concerned as to whether they count or not, or whether this is just a movement for a certain population.
Yeah, and that is something that the Black Lives Matter will include to continue to look at. They will continue to look at that question. So it's an important question. But I just want to make sure that when we say all lives matter, that we get that in general, we're using that analogy of saying, my house is not on fire, but please give me some attention anyway. A question in the chat is, if a person of color calls me a racist, what do they mean by racist? The first thing I would ask myself if somebody called me a racist, sexist, or anything else is, what might I have done that had an impact that I didn't see? And that's where I would start. Where might I have had an impact? There's going to be such a rush of shame because that's part of what maintains the system. We have made it this horrible thing for somebody to say, that was racist. It's like all of a sudden I go into defending myself, dealing with all the shame that comes up, instead of looking at what behavior are they trying to point me to. So I would suggest if somebody calls you a racist, ask yourself, tell me more. What impact did I have? What am I not seeing? And let them tell you if they're willing. They might not be willing. They might be in so much pain that they'll say, I need a break from you. You know, I don't feel safe with you. Just want you to know that you did something that's falling in that category for me. Go get help and figure it out. Get that help. But if you go into that defensive mode, nothing's going to change. The second thing is there's a lot of reasons why somebody might call somebody a racist. There might be something that they think that you're doing that's coming from a lack of awareness or understanding about their experience and their culture. There might be something you did that was explicitly racist by anyone's standards. There are a lot of reasons. So I don't think you need to get really hung up on, is some behavior racist, some behavior not, but more around, how can I be curious about what this person is trying to get me to see? After you've had that conversation, after you've taken steps to address whatever it is that you want to address, then you can decide if there's anything you want to share about that word having an impact for you. Because for me, in the position that I occupy, I will very rarely call somebody a racist if I'm directly engaging with them. Not necessarily because I think the term doesn't apply to their behavior, but because I don't want to have to deal with all the shame that's going to come up for them in order to get my point heard. It's not efficient for me. That's important information for somebody to have, that in order for me to show up and hear your message, I had to do so much work to stay in the room, and I want to hear your message without having to do that much work. But in some ways, that's my work. It's my work as the person trying to call you in and tell you what you did didn't work for me, to say, do I want to make it easier for you to hear me? And if I do, great. If I don't, also great. And it's your work as the person being called in, if somebody calls you a racist, to say, can I still show up regardless of the way that I was called in? Can I still be present to what this person is trying to tell me?
From Black Lives Matter, I learned something that was just mind-blowing for me, which is that we should not be colorblind. And I thought being, now I call it colorblind, but for me it was like, we're all together, so why make a difference? And so, because I've been doing this for most of my life, trying to make everyone equal by not seeing color, my question is, how do we see colors? What should we do to be addressing this properly?
What can we do to see color? This is such an interesting question. What comes up for me is, what can I do to be aware of the differences in how society is structured, the way we treat each other, that impact people that are different from how I'm impacted? It's not so much around, I'm looking at you and saying, you're Black. It's more like to see this bigger network of how we all impact each other and what's already in society that's impacting us. A lot of education helps. Start reading. The one blessing about the internet with its many curses are there are a gazillion firsthand accounts of pretty much anything I could possibly say about the experiences of people in color in different settings. So if you're a teacher, start reading about firsthand accounts of what it's like to be a student of color in the school system. If you're a medical professional, start reading all the accounts about what it's like to be a Black person showing up in a doctor's office asking for equal treatment. Whatever your profession is, whatever you do, start reading about what it's like for people in that same setting and how they're treated differently, because it's usually invisible to you if you're not that person, if you're not from that group. So raise your awareness. And when you raise your awareness about these things, then you are more likely to see it when it's happening and more likely to intervene. You're also more likely to catch yourself when you start acting in ways that were probably unconscious, that you were just kind of like on the well-oiled train that says, this is how you treat people of color. A lot of times, like, I know who I am. I've got a lot of gifts. I've got a lot of strengths. And I still realize that when people don't know me and they interact with me, they don't see me. What they see is, you know, this body. They see a brown skin, a fat woman, hearing impaired, all of the different things that make me look a certain way in society, and that maps into something. So what I usually get if I go to the doctor is, I need to explain every word to you really slowly and define everything for you. Like, I used to work in a medical setting. I don't need this. And I get to tell doctors that, but this is the assumptions they have about. So start checking. What are the assumptions that you might have that you're not aware of? And a great way to know that is to read. What are the experiences that people have? And do I do those things? It's really eye-opening when you start to look at that.
You mentioned things to start reading, whether you're a teacher or a medical person. I'm a mother. What could I read to share with my kids? They're more like tweens and teens.
There is a ton of great stuff out there, especially with Black Lives Matter. There have been a couple of great articles around what it's like to be a parent of color, parenting children of color in these times. What are some of the things that we have to tell our children that you will never have to tell your child? Reading some of these things and reading them with your kids. If you've got tweens, they're actually old enough. And this is something that I find really amazing. I get to talk to my kids about these things when they're 5 or 6 or 7. And I have white folks say, but they're only tweens. I can't take away their innocence. That's already a privilege. So you get to talk to your kids about some of these things and read it, not to scare them, but to help them understand what's going on. There is an organization that looks at Black children's literature. So start looking for those literature that's geared for students of color and read those with your kids. I have friends who went on a quest for 1 year to only read books written by women and people of color. Do that with your kids so that they start to automatically get that different perspective than we get in narratives that are written by white folks.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Somebody's asking, what is a microaggression? A microaggression is something that you say or do that's because of somebody's group membership. And there are a lot of different kinds of microaggressions. Sometimes I might say or do something explicitly because of your group membership. So somebody calling me the N-word would be both a macroaggression and a microaggression. But the main reason they're called microaggressions are because they're not generally about the structural powers. So it's not about the government denying me access to something because they've set up laws in a way that exclude people of color. It's focused more on the interpersonal relationships. So it's not micro in terms of the impact, but micro in terms of the structural force that might be born in that moment. And some microaggressions can be things that are denying the reality of POC or people in different groups. So for instance, we're all the same. Any person of color would be like, nope, we're not the same. When I walk into a store, I'm going to be treated differently than you are almost 99% of the time. And if you say we're all the same, then you're completely erasing my experience and asking me to go along with that. There are things that invalidate, erase people's experiences, things that attack them, and things that very subtly insult them, you know, without the person even being aware that they're doing it. So there's a lot more to learn about it. Again, lots of great writing out there, but that's a quick definition about it.